Let's hear G, B.
Which page are we on now?
Oh, well, sorry, we're on 126.
That's only two notes.
Oh, the one that was drawn.
Yeah.
So the way, if you play the first three, it goes.
That's the sequence.
Try it again.
Or it can go back, it can go this way.
Does it resolve?
Yeah.
No.
Well, just in terms of how you're feeling.
Yeah, yeah, it's not as bad.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't stay as good as the
sound. Well, thank you. What I'll do, I think, let's go through it chord by chord till the end of the music. Then we'll hear Kathy's. We may not get to you till next time. That's all right. But let's hear them one by one, and then we can stop and have you kind of summarize what we've heard right before we get to the lectures to the strangers.
Okay, because it continues on after that. It really doesn't finish the chording, but it finishes to the very beginning.
Well, right, but that's only one chord, isn't there, after lecture to the strangers?
There's one,
yeah. Yeah, just one.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things we got to keep in our heads here. It's kind of frustrating. See, where were we?
We stopped at
he leaves.
On
yeah, he leaves. Playing a minor chord C. We heard that, didn't we? C, E flat, G. I went on. It must be difficult. So I'm on 126 down at the bottom. It must be difficult for the master to make himself known to us, and even more difficult to make himself understood by us. We are strange to him as he is a stranger to us. To us he looks as if he is dreaming, like a sleepwalker, perfectly sure of himself. I believe he does not know much about our waking state, but he has a vague notion and wants to know more about it. That is why he wants his world and ours to come closer together, and this is what he is trying to arrange all the time. He does not mind turning around once in a while, yet this is serious enough to harm the captain and his daughter. At this point, the lady cut in. He is now trying something else. He told me I should help you to play the piano better. I also caught his words through the censorship, but I did not understand. Oh, but I do understand that a little, I interrupted. Do you remember Freud? He was my advocate. Now, well, that's the lady speaking. So the lady is saying Freud was her advocate. He did not know it, the lady whispered, and I played a minor chord A, C, E, A.
He's Freudian.
Thank you.
How do you feel about that last chord?
Ominous.
Ominous, yeah.
Haunting.
Haunting, yeah. Halloweenish. Mm-hmm. What do you make of the Freud bit? The author doesn't say anything, but I think it's important.
Well, if it's coming from the lady, I mean, his sexual problems, I mean, that's what Freud opened up. Right.
Yeah.
And so she's saying he was my advocate to say, look, Paul, you have sexual problems.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So I guess that note then is not too auspicious. The chord is not too auspicious.
The lady whispers and plays it.
Right.
See, now, I guess my problem is because he plays it, and again, mm-hmm. I know, I just mm-hmm. have the trouble of, like, he resisting her by that auspicious darkness, mm-hmm. or when is it coming from her to communicate?
Well, does she ever play it?
Well, she's supposed to be giving a lesson. I guess that's why...
My take on that is that we're getting his emotions expressed through the chord. Instead of words at this time, we're getting his what his feelings are.
Yeah, but Eileen is asking, who's playing?
He is.
Well, but at the very beginning, she was. First, she let me play the minor chord.
I will guide you.
First, she guides him, and then he kind of takes over, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. He plays the first chord, then she guides the hand to this minor third, then fourth.
Right.
And then...
Right.
And then he plays.
And he takes over. Right.
So it's like as if she's showing him how to express himself emotionally. And then he takes over. That's how it's felt.
Yeah, but I like what Eileen said, that it's a piano lesson, but...
Well, Janet was saying this isn't a piano lesson.
He is in charge.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So if he is overwhelmed by his emotions,
or are these his emotions?
I had a real
yeah. In other words, if well, this might be rhetorical, but since we're getting confused, let's really make it terrible. Wonder what notes she would be playing. Would they be the same notes? If he could shut up long enough to let her play.
Exactly.
What would the notes be?
That sound was resistant, you know, versus
yeah.
what she was trying to say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I keep thinking of it more as a dream, that these aren't literal notes. I don't even know that I see him playing them. Like you, somebody was asking, was he sitting uh-huh. there playing them? It's almost like it's when you have a dream and you get the name of a person or a book or some, you know, that
yeah.
these... chords are expressing what feelings he's having, yeah. not what he should be having, but what he's having at the time.
Or, yeah, the question is, are those feelings covering up something?
That's sure. It seems to me they are.
That's the conclusion I'm reaching. It hadn't occurred to me before now.
Yeah, that's, I mean, now that I hear them, it's like...
Yeah. Yep. Well, it gets worse. So he was my advocate. I mean, I don't know how to say this, but when working with material like this, I think you always need to be asking yourself what's genuine and what's bullshit. And I think the genuine was he was my advocate. And the genuine resistance was the ACEA. Now comes some more sad stuff. Then I continue. He believed there is a censorship which is permanently there but only shows itself in dreams. He also believed that it is the product of a moralizing Victorian matron who is invisible unless reflected in this very censorship. I don't think Freud said that. Victorian matron? Next, I turn to the lady with the words, "Now I want to tell you a great secret. And such a moralizing matron does not exist, but a censorship of dreams does really exist." And I whispered rapidly in her ear, "It is created by contemporary professors, particularly by those in the sciences." Not that's genuine, I think. But look how quickly he will forget that he said that. This is naturally the case because of the captain from Kupinik, I think. You'd say Kupinik, does that sound right? Here, Healy, Kupinik. has no power anymore, thank God, save for one restriction. And I played first F, A flat, C, and then E flat, G, and it is not B flat, it is just B.
Oh, wow.
That's the E flat, G, B flat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, could you play E flat, G, B? Not the same, huh?
No.
That's not quite as ominous.
Mm-hmm.
If you really wanted to split hairs here, if the captain of Kirpenick no longer has power, why did the captain not ask for help? It doesn't fit. And I'm sure it's this kind of stuff that just was driving von Franz nuts to where she said, I'm sick of this guy.
And would the captain of Kirpenick be an expression of Pally's own ego, his inability to ask for help?
Well, are you familiar with, did you get the story of the captain from Kirpenick? It's a story of a captain from Kirpenick, which I think must be a town in Poland, who got a captain's uniform and went to Berlin or Munich or someplace, I forget where, and pretended to be an army officer and got military benefits. So it's the story of a charlatan.
Yeah.
Fraud. Interesting, too, you know what Copernicus's name is in Polish? Kopernik. Yeah. I dug that up. Pass that around. Our author didn't pick that up, and I just had a lucky intuition, but it can't be an accident that... Yeah, so yes, I think it would represent the narrow-mindedness of science, which is the mock in Pally's dreams, which is the captain who couldn't ask for help. And it still gets more confusing. Are you able to stand more confusion?
Just bring it on.
Why not?
Without hesitation, I answer it. In the East, you find a new variant of the captain of Kirpenick, a sect of virulent theologians. They are the red slaves already described by the alchemists. See where I am?
Mm-hmm.
127, right, next to last paragraph. They are the red slaves. The red slaves are sulfur. Red slaves are desirousness. They're not theologians. They are dangerous because of their guns and cannons. Sulfur doesn't have guns and cannons. Denied sulfur has guns and cannons. You're familiar with sulfur and alchemy? It's just raw desire, burning desire. While the old black theologians have to do without these and also have to do without the snake. The old black theologians, if you want...
Snake. Is it snake, not steak?
Good question. I thought steak, but... hang on. Here it says steak. Let me see what the German says. Well, maybe I'll just check this on my own time, so I don't have to waste yours. Right. In the east. Während die alten Schwarzen Theologen keine mehr haben und auch auf die Scheiterhaufen.
Scheiterhaufen.
Is that a stake?
Pile. Well, Scheiterhaufen, Haufen's a pile. Scheiterhaufen.
Must be the stake. It is stake. It's not snake.
It might be the kindling that's built up around the stake, if you're talking about the Inquisition, so you're burning at the stake.
Right.
So that varies.
Yeah. So it is stake.
It's not snake.
It's not snake.
It's definitely not snake.
So there's a letter difference, and so
it is steak.
In this, there's a letter difference, so you think it is close enough that it's probably indicating Copernicus.
Oh, letter difference.
The R.
There's an R in there.
Close
enough.
Yeah.
For active imagination.
There's an extra R in his name. I don't know. It's just
too close to be.
It's awfully close. I wouldn't want to.
Coincidence.
Yeah.
Huh?
Certainly, it's about fraud. That we can say for sure.
At least notes yours or the author's.
The author's.
He calls the red slaves communists. They personify in Polly's dreams his own impression of a personal viewpoint. He prefers to follow collective opinion.
No, I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, red slaves is such a frequent image in alchemy.
Can you say again what the word, I missed what you were reading next to get on.
Oh,
the red slaves?
Sulfur.
Oh, and lust.
Okay. Lust. Yeah, burning desire. Yeah, he may have meant communists, but it's such an interesting slip that what red slaves really are is the very desire he's running from. And so are the black theologians. That's I won't take up our time with it, but if you want to follow up on it, it's in it's a dream Jung talks about in Archetypes in the Collective Unconscious, Collected Works 9-1, paragraph 71. And what it is, it's a dream of a theologian who dreamt of black theologians being the good guys and white theologians being the bad guys. And what Jung makes of it is just, it shows how in the unconscious what has been considered bad is now the path to salvation, and what has been considered good is really detrimental to our individuation. That's how he takes it. So it fits the black theologians and the red slaves fit together as an image of desire. Desire as a path to salvation. Transformed desire as a path to salvation. He then does, and that is true. He did have dreams. We saw dreams of communists representing his collective standpoint. That's at the bottom of 127. Now, Now, this next bit, I think, is genuine. Now that the point has been reached that the captain in Vienna has not spoken the words, the top of 128. And the master has had to turn around, so we're back to that. As occurs hundreds and thousands of times, the master now wants to assert himself under all circumstances, and he seems to find me particularly suited for that purpose. That is genuine. He wants to come out into the daylight through me at all costs. I must say I often feel weird, and I am frightened of him and apprehensive. He's not only good, but he can also be evil and dangerous. And he is most dangerous when you try to ignore him, as the captive in Vienna has done. So there you're getting some insight. So on the one hand, I'm afraid, and on the other, he fascinates me. I can no longer keep away from him as he cannot from me. Now, the sad thing is he's going to completely contradict that in a few paragraphs. And I played the fourth F, E flat on a white and a black key. Not hopeful, huh? No.
I don't know.
Okay?
It sounds reality-based. But the grounding sounding, I don't know why.
Okay. There are no right or wrong answers here. We just go with your feeling and try to get a sense. Now an interesting paragraph, which he doesn't make much of, but I think it's important. And I played the fourth F, B flat on a white and a black key. The lady then said, "My attitude toward him is just the reverse. I was in his bondage and obeyed him blindly." I answered her by shaking my head. "For a long time, I used to believe that that was the right thing for you to do, but I changed my mind in this respect. Perhaps we are both prejudiced in regard to him. A captain of Kuppernick once told people that the black keys of the piano are just holes, and that, and where the white keys are missing, all that the master's, that the black keys of the piano are just holes where the white keys are missing, and that all the masters are either completely white or completely black." Many people echo this. The thing that hits me so much there is that she was in his bondage. What do you make of that?
Is there some sort of negative effect coming from
that? Well, it's like he is so close to being pulled back to medieval thinking.
You mean Pali?
Yeah. And perhaps, is that a comment on us as a whole? Is that why he clings so tightly to rationalism? Is because he is so easily sucked back into irrationalism. You know, I think the two worlds, we've got three worlds, really. We've got the woman's past being in the master's bondage, which would be the superstition of the Middle Ages. We have the captain from Kuppernick and captain in the house in Vienna, totally rational, denying there's any mystery to events in physical life. And they're the two extremes. And then it looks like the master is the bridge between the two. But maybe Pali is afraid to get into the irrational for fear of being totally sucked in and staying there. In other words, regressing to the Middle Ages.
That's irrationalism, the Middle Ages?
Yeah. Where, you know, miracles happen all the time in their stories, and swords talk, and trees give advice, and so on. So it's just a thought.
Is there anything to intimate that that would be a fair thing?
This is the first time I've heard it. The lady laughed loudly and gave a hint. Tell them that you can also play minor chords on white keys, such as A, C, E, major, A, C, E, and major chords on black keys, such as F sharp, A sharp, C sharp. Please. They're major chords, huh?
The first one was a minor chord, A, C, E.
Oh, minor.
And the second one.
Do you mind? Can you rewind that? Play them again. That's minor, huh?
Can you hear it?
Kind of. Yeah. Sweeter. The point there is just the relativity of good and evil. Black, right. Yeah. So he's trying at least to visualize for himself, I think, the relativity that good things can be bad and bad things can be good. Mm-hmm. Good experiences can be bad and bad experiences can be good. In other words, he feels that von Franz is a bad experience, I think. It's adultery. And he's trying to reconcile with himself that not to judge conventionally. Then there's a shift. The lady laughed loudly and gave me all that matters. All that matters is that you know how to play the piano. I played faithfully and willingly as she had told. When I looked at her, I noticed that now she had slit eyes. I don't like that word, slit eyes. Mm-mm. I would say almond eyes, but the German says slit eyes. What are you going to do?
There's a difference. I mean, slit eyes really sounds sort of evil.
Emphasizes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he just means oriental eyes. What would you do if you would publish that? Translate it as it is or pretty it up? These are the dilemmas.
But slit eyes suggest that they're not exactly open, but right. I mean, mm-hmm. Opposed to having one's eyes open.
Well, I think he means the oriental eye is kind of belittling, mm-hmm. Which is the way he feels towards these people, anyway. Well, the key there is we're getting a new figure. The woman is turning oriental, and she turns oriental when he begins to wrestle with the ambiguity of right and wrong. Which is what we've said about her all along, so it's confirmation.
I wouldn't change the slit eyes. I put that as soon as you read that, you know he's referring to the oriental woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his act of imagination.
It's his act of imagination, yeah.
He might have a footnote.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, the footnote.
Mm-hmm.
And you acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Almond eye sounds very contemporary.
Then some more talk about the Russians. And then the scene goes on. I see a vast mainland, said the lady. The water has drained away. The land is still somewhat set, but it is firm ground. It stretches to the far north, and it is inhabited by strange people. And I continued, and I see how the master distributes newspapers among the strangers. I cannot read them, but they do. These papers probably tell them their names and who they are. What do you make of that?
The description of the vast mainland sounds like China to me.
Well, it's to the north. Mm-hmm. He always associated north with intuition. Mm-hmm. But there's a red flag. I think that's a good sign that something that had been mushy is now capable of sustaining a standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he just said, I will serve the stranger at all costs, and yet he won't bother to read a newspaper.
But, and the newspaper, he needs to do it in his everyday life. Not live in this stuff. He gets these insights, but he will not live in his everyday life.
I would take it on two levels. He is not talking to the stranger in himself, and I think, again, this is an allusion to the new professor, mm-hmm. that he is really meant to publish for the average person what he's feeling and thinking. And in doing so, they are given their identity. He will get his identity by understanding this material. Because later we're going to see he has no passport. Here it is. That's why he doesn't have a passport. He has no identity. His identity was meant to be based on communicating this material. So you can see how, for Jung, identity is founded on a task. Not only who you are, it's what you do. F sharp, A sharp, C sharp? Oh, we did? Where do we? Yes. Uh-huh. Right. So here she plays that now.
But she's telling him to play.
She plays it. She tells him to play it, yeah.
So it is a lesson in playing.
Here it is a lesson. I hadn't really considered that point before. I said slowly, I have the impression that the white keys are like the words and the black keys are like the meaning. At times the words are sad and the meaning joyful, and then again it's just the other way around. Here with you it is no longer as in the two schools, which gave me so much trouble. I can always see that there is only one piano. In a soft voice, she spoke to me, I can only play the piano. I understand nothing of your numbers. Red flag. Look down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs. Right. Look down 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs. See a contradiction?
No.
Yeah, even that she says, even the best of censors, as you call them, do not know their concept of mathematical probability is that which remains when one is totally ignorant of our piano play. There she seems to know what their point of view is, their mathematical point of view is.
What does she say that?
The paragraph that starts, she quieted and go down 1, 2, 3, 4 lines in that paragraph. Even the best of censors, as you call them, do not know that their concept of mathematical probability is that which remains when one is totally ignorant of our piano playing. She apparently understands their concept of mathematical probability, or she couldn't make a comparison. And what's that say about him? Yeah, that something in him does know that this relationship with von Franz is sacred. That there is a mathematical order taken as a metaphor to what's going on.
Just like there is in music.
Just like there is in music, yeah. Right, right. So you can see how just full of tricks this thing is. See which one is it? Did I skip one? Oh yeah, go ahead. Well, yeah, go ahead. Now we go to what I would say is the introduction to the lecture to the strangers, starting with the censors. See where I am, the second paragraph? The censors believe nowadays that chance rules the world. So that would be quantum physics. That would be quantum physics, period. Where what the stranger is working with, what the master is working with, is within that chance is the opening through which meaning enters. Then she says, yes, I know the pitchfork used for the last 100 years to chase me out of the mountains, rivers, and forests, and particularly out of the heavenly sphere. She would be the meaning. That is an allusion to literature, which I've heard, but I can't recall. The pitchfork. Somebody said that the Enlightenment was a pitchfork, but I can't remember where I heard that. I laughingly trying to distract her. The name is Cause, but the children are already asking why, and I played a chord of the seventh C, E, G, and it is not B flat, it is just B. That desires to be resolved. Should we hear we heard the B flat. Can you play the B? C, E, G, B. Doesn't sound so bad, huh? And that's a major chord. Yeah. C, E, G, B. Yeah, thank you. Brighter sound, Can you go a little bit more, or are you tired? We have a couple more minutes. I just find it very tiring to do this.
Mm-hmm. You're tired. We quit.
No, I mean, I notice when I prepare how much energy I have left when I'm finished preparing, and this took a lot of energy. Not that it's taking so much energy now, because you're here, but I'm aware of the fatigue factor when I do any work, because it's not generating energy, you see, it's taking our energy. Which is what he does. What these people do. They suck you dry. And remember how she said she felt when they... Do we read that in here? Maybe not yet. We'll get to it. Where she talks about how she gave up on him. Did we read that? Maybe not. Where she said, I would come back exhausted. We did talk about it, I think.
Isn't that a feature in the sense of having an active imagination and not knowing how to work with it? I mean, like him? I mean, the interpretations he's coming up with are...
But he's had years of therapy.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. He's had enough training. He's had the best teacher.
Yeah.
And he's just getting it wrong.
Can't shut the F up and let the unconscious speak to him.
Just in reading it, I know. We talked about this before. It makes my head just swirl.
Well, it's maybe we've done enough for today, but just to reflect on what we've done, those of you who did Zarathustra, it's just like Zarathustra. Zarathustra would have three contradictions in one sentence. And Jung would have to go through each sentence and say, if you say that, you can't say that. But what unconsciousness is making contradictory statements and not seeing them. And what that does then, it allows the unconscious free rein to live out its destructive side through you, because you never scrutinize what's going on. And I think with, as Jung said with Zarathustra, don't ignore what's being said because it's contradictory. You're looking at a fragmented personality. Now, with our consciousness, acknowledge the contradictions to see the person behind that's trying to come into to birth. And I think that's what you have to do with this material, is go through it piece by piece. This I accept, this I don't. That's boundary setting in modern language. This is okay, this is not okay. And slowly ferret out what is real to help the real thing come through. But it is exhausting. Well, just to anticipate, we stopped just where I said, we're getting into the introduction to the lecture to the strangers, which we'll go through real quickly. It's just hot air. We'll go through that in about 10 minutes until we get over to page 132 and pick up again.
You want to hear the final chord and then the
play? Can you bring it back next time?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's hear the final chord.
And then what she does with it.
That's the very final chord.
Yeah. Now she's going to play them all sequentially like a melody.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, you don't. You might bring it back next time. And then we'll get through this next time, I think. Easy. Because, huh?
I'm asking about her toy she draws.
Oh, just bring it back next time.
Well, you're gonna when we get to right before the lecture of the strangers, we'll take a break and have her give her presentation. And well, it'd be good to know now that we've heard it, be able to conceptualize it. And what I want to say real quickly is, he is going to discard chance, and then comes the lecture to the strangers, and then comes trouble. You want to keep these for us? You want us to bring these back?
Whatever you want.
Do you trust us to bring them back? Will everyone bring them back?
I've got plenty.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Eight.
Oh, these must be mine. I'm losing my marble.
Yes. Okay.
I didn't say that. Let me see. Yeah, read through the end of the piano lesson if you haven't already. And maybe the first couple pages in the next chapter. I don't know if we get that far, but if we do, you'll be ahead of the game. We'll try to get this thing done next week. Next time. Thank you.